Morning, everybody. Morning. Delighted to be here. Glad we're here early to talk about data first thing in the morning. That's my favorite topic. Glad everybody could show up. Thank you, Harold, for inviting me, Christy, and the folks from Mesa. I am delighted to be here to talk about how you need to integrate or disintegrate and how interoperability is the foundation of a data-inspired media supply chain. At Dun & Bradstreet, one of our core values is being data-inspired. Our perspective on that is people talk a lot about data-driven, being data-driven. We think machines are data-driven, processes are data-driven, but people should be inspired. And so people are data-inspired, and we hope our data and a lot of other data you use can help you inspire you to make those kinds of decisions you need to make in your business. A little bit about Dun & Bradstreet. I'm sure plenty of you were wondering, what the heck is Dun & Bradstreet doing here? Well, we're here because we are probably the oldest data business on earth. We've been around since the 40s, the 1840s. That's Lou Tappan up there. That's the guy who started the business here in New York. It's the New York Mercantile Exchange, where he got a bunch of merchants together to be able to share insight they had about new people to sell to in the West because they didn't know who to trust. So we're talking about the 1840s here, right? No phones, no nothing. We've got to be able to understand a relationship and build a relationship with people we don't know yet and build a data repository, if you will, data-inspired insight to be able to build that relationship. So no technology involved there before other than just kind of horse and carriage. This is some of some old employee pictures. Abraham Lincoln used to work for us. Ulysses S. Grant, Grover Cleveland, William McKinley, all the big guys, they all went off and did big things. We were proud of our leadership training in those days. But we've been around for 175 years. We have a database right now, a commercial database of 250,000 commercial records. That's what we cover. So we have literally every business on earth from every country we can go to collect this data without getting shocked for it. So that's our geographic coverage, if you will. We're limited right now to Earth. Once Elon Musk opens up business on Mars, he'll have one of our codes that'll roll up to what we call Galactic Ultimate in the hierarchy. We'll share that with you later. But we take 30,000 sources across the planet to pull together this database. We update it 5 million times a day. We've been involved in thousands of data integration, MDM, master data, legacy transformation initiatives across thousands of companies across hundreds of countries. So we live and breathe this issue of interoperability literally in every type of category, in every type of industry, which is why we think we have some relevant things to share with you today. The Fortune 500, 90% of them trust our data. Apple, if you want to be an Apple developer in the App Store, you need a code that we call a DUNS number. It's a unique identifier for every one of these commercial entities. It's our unique code. You need a DUNS number to be an app developer. If you want to sell to the U.S. government, you need a DUNS number. U.S. government and Apple don't agree on information a lot, but they agree on this type of standard. And we're most proud of being one of the most ethical companies on earth. It's about trust with us. It's about meaning. It's about finding truth in data is what our business is all about. And recently we announced a relationship with TAG, the Trustworthy Accountability Group, to help verify companies, similar to what we do with Apple, similar to what we do with the U.S. government, for their trustability and accountability in the digital space. So moving in that's represented a lot by Ed Carey. Ed, say hi to everybody. Ed's here. So he handles our advertising and media space as well. So that kind of gives you a little bit about Dun & Bradstreet. Why did I get on here? I consider myself, Scott Taylor, a bit of a data whisperer. I can calm data down. That's what master data, metadata, reference data, that's what it does to data. It calms it down. That's what you want to do. I've been in the master data business for about 20 years on the business side. On the content side, I'm relatively untechnical, but I understand how to communicate the value of this to the other stakeholders. I was at Nielsen for 14 years in their master data service, helping them with metadata and reference data services. I was a consultant after that for WPP and worked across a bunch of their different companies, so steeped somewhat in the advertising and marketing space. I think my parents told me that I'm sort of hardwired for this space because instead of building with my Lego, I sorted it. So you may have that. If you have kids who sort Lego, they're in the data business. Be sure to support them on that. About 5 years ago, I wrote a white paper sponsored by the folks who I guess own this building, Microsoft, for master data for media. It was the first thought leadership piece in this space that talked about the content side of MDM, the content side of it. And you'll hear a lot about systems and processes, but without that, without the content, these things don't go. And I don't need to spend too much time in the media and entertainment business to reinforce the value of content versus the delivery mechanism. And when you look at master data and metadata, that's really what we're talking about. We published from that white paper, I published the definition of master data in Wikipedia. Master data is a single source of common business data used across multiple systems, applications, and processes. It's been in Wikipedia unchallenged for 6 years, so don't anybody touch it, all right? Leave it alone up there. I love MDM wherever it is. I live in Connecticut, but this is Michelson Door Manufacturing, so wherever there's MDM, I try and find it. And in this space, we all talk about being disruptive, and I come by it naturally, okay? I was disruptive in the fourth grade. This is my report card from Mrs. Appleyard in Evanston, Illinois, who said, Scott is disruptive and distracting to others, which I also consider a positive. So I come by this very honestly here. So moving across, a little introduction to give you some perspective. Everything we touch today turns to data. That's how we talk about it. And I think no matter what business you're in, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what part of those industries you're in, everything you touch today turns to data as consumer activity and business processes go from analog to digital. We don't need to share with you a whole bunch of stats about how much there's much more data now than there was than when we walked in the building. We all know that. But everything we touch today turns to data. And all these marketers, which you are and who you represent and who you work with, are trying to use data technology at scale to gain a competitive advantage, drive operational efficiency. The classic mom and apple pie, I want to sell more, I want to do better with what I'm doing, be more efficient, add value. Classic use cases, but now you can start to do it because of technology and data at scale. And that volume and velocity of data is overwhelming. The variety is unmanageable. If you think of the big data 3Vs, volume, okay, bring it on. I've got plenty of storage space. Velocity, I can handle speed, but it's the last one. It's the variety that kills you. It's the variety that takes you down. How do I know a way to sort all these different Lego pieces if I've got this much variety? And instead of creating fabulous insights, it creates a ton of chaos. And so how do you find truth among all these silos? Our answer is master data. That's the truth. That's how you find the truth. Single version of the truth, any number of versions of the truth, that's how you find the truth, is through master data can bring truth to your organization, to your process, and a common analogy through a common language. And if you don't believe me about the power of a common language, let me find this. It's not really a business book, but you might recognize this quote. As long as they all spoke the same language, no endeavor was beyond their reach. That's coming from pretty high up. So when we think about a common language and the need for a common language in this business, in this vertical, in this space, there's no endeavor that's beyond your reach when you can have a common language and interoperability through systems. That's the power of Babel, if you're wondering what that is. So this common language is important. You do it to try and find truth and meaning in your data. It's not chicken or egg here. It is egg and omelet. It has to go in that order. Find the truth, then derive the meaning. Because what people want to do is just make good decisions. That's all business people want to do, and a lot of you are working with business folks out there. You want to make good decisions, but good decisions made on bad data are just bad decisions you don't know about yet. You've got to make sure that data that's coming in there is good and solid. And the way I describe it to my family, which is really a way to kind of simplify it, it's about, if you think about the most basic data visualization technique, a table, it's about rows and columns. And people are really good at columns, but they're not good at rows. Rows are hard. We're in the row business. That's what we're in, a lot of us. Interoperability is having a row structure across all these different systems, across all this data. So columns are easy and rows are hard. And I shared this with my daughter's boyfriend, who's actually a data analyst, and he said, you know what, your dad is right, rows are really hard. Yeah, exactly. No, to get that kind of validation from my daughter, it was huge, let me tell you. It was a big day for me. Whatever it takes. And there are more and more columns out there. This is, if you're familiar with Lumascape, this is kind of a Lumascape of Lumascapes across the media and marketing space, every one of these logos represents a new data source coming at your marketing people, coming at your sales people, coming at somebody who doesn't understand the IT and the data structure they need to integrate into. And there are more people in the data business today than ever before. There are more people in the data business today than ever before that have never been in the data business before than ever before. And a lot of them know for sure the last thing about the data business, which is you might make money at it. But a lot of them don't know a lot of the first fundamental things about the data business, which is you've got a row structure. You've got a way you have to integrate that data, and they need to look at ways to make their data more interoperable with what you're doing. And so we counsel folks who are looking at external sources, make sure that stuff, that structure fits into the world you're trying to build. So master data is your most important data. I met Tamara McCleary last week at the IoT conference. She's one of the top influencers in the IT space. So she said, if I quoted her, she'd tweet it. So this is a shameless plug to get into her network here. But she said, data is the glue of the digital age. And if that's true, then master data is the epoxy. That's what pulls all that stuff together. So master data is really about your business nouns, your customers, your vendors, your partners, your brands, your products, your services, the things you make, the people you sell to and buy from and partner with and interoperate between, and that structure, those relationships, you need to apply a standardized structure to them to scale those relationships. And this is a poster that was in WPP halls that I wrote, that I took a picture of. Brands are the universal language of culture. True. But there is no universal language for brands. So if we don't have a universal language for brands, then we simply cannot talk to each other, and our machines can't talk to each other and interoperate together without that language. So we talk about this, again, sort of boil it down, very simplified. This may be a little too simple for some folks in this group, but again, to try and, if you think about how do you explain this to the folks who hold the money to drive the initiatives you're trying to get funded, or who are wondering why you're even dealing with this metadata stuff. Metadata, I had an Aunt Meta, what are you talking about? So it's just this kind of technical aspect to it. This is how we try to simplify it when we tell this story. So you're looking at basically what we call four C's of master data. If you want to create a master data record, an entity, you need these four C's no matter what data you're looking at. You need a code, a unique identifier. Ad ID, one of our favorites, right there, Harold. That's a unique code for advertising creative. It says it's a unique asset, and it is unduplicated. And if you have a code, you exist in a database. So a code, number one. We've got a DUNS number. There's UPCs, lots of different codes. Every system has a code, but you need a code to start with. You need a company. You need to know what that thing belongs to, some parent-child relationship, some level above which you start to report. So bill to, plan to, ship to, sell to, whatever those levels are of your interaction with those relationships, you need that hierarchy structure, that ownership hierarchy structure. You need a category. You need to know what kind of thing this is. And category drives segmentation. It drives penetration. In your world, it drives competitive separation. So you need to know a category. What kind of thing is this? And if you look deep enough in your databases, I'm sure you'll find a category that we see often called other. We all have other. Underneath that is other. All other, your second biggest category, I'm sure. Well, I had one client who didn't have other, but they had a code that said DK. We asked him what that meant, and he said, don't know. Other stuff. Yeah. But you need to have category. There's lots of granularity in category, channel, sub-channel, genre, sub-genre, but you need to know what kind of thing you're looking at. And then to follow along in this alliteration, you need some sort of country or form of geography. And again, geography has lots of different nuances, postal code, zip code, region, province, media market, sales market, measurement market. Starting to feel the stress here already. Trying to interconnect those different definitions, but you need some sort of geography. So if you know something's unique, and you know who owns it, and you know what kind of thing it is, and you know where it is, and you had that across your entire database and all the data you worked with, you would have this common language. And if you start to share that and interoperate with that and leverage standards that also do that, then you can share that common language between different enterprises. But you've got to start with these four C's. And we talk about, at least in this space, those four C's around these domains are brand and media vehicle and purchase channel, the kinds of things that there are that you need to code. Getting a little more philosophical here, Leonardo da Vinci said, everything connects to everything else. That is interoperability at its best. He didn't know that word, but that's what he's talking about. Everything needs to connect to everything else. Well, I'll add this one last piece, when it should. When it should. And that's the kind of interoperability we're trying to drive in this industry. Everything connecting to everything else when it should. And if you think about all these different themes going out there, centricity, the single version of anything, 360-degree view of customer or vendor or brand or consumer, globalization, big data, we talked about. Big data needs little data. Little data is master data. The API economy with different sources coming at you without any structure to the programmatic marketing, which this group is very familiar with, the ability to deliver the right content to the right person in the right place in the right context, that all takes this structured information underneath it. And the Internet of Things, which is both industrial and consumer, where everything does need to connect to everything else when it should, is the biggest thing that we think is going to be happening in the next couple of years. That total interoperability across ecosystems driven by the Internet of Things. And that will take identification, that'll take codes, and that space is wide open right now, and we've looked at it, we found kind of a warning in here, because if you think about identification in the IoT, I-D-I-O-T spells idiot. So we think that's a warning. Make sure we do this right. So this megatrend convergence will increase the need for clean, coded, standardized, expertly governed master, reference, and metadata content that seamlessly integrates across every level of your interaction, whether it's methodologies, processes, workflows, platforms, enterprises, value chains, ecosystems. All of those need to interconnect, and master data is literally the only kind of data that can do that, that can connect those systems. So the inconvenient truth, however, this is a little graphic. I know it's early in the morning here. I don't think there are any kids. So we're going to show you some graphic imagery that's going to be disturbing to any data stewards in the room. This is what this data looks like. This is the problem here. This is the pain. Naked data, we call it. There it is. That's the problem. These are from embarrassingly large global enterprises who can't tell what they're doing with the New York Times, who can't spell Nestle the same way twice, who don't know what they're doing with 7-Eleven. 7 equals 11, what kind of math is that? They're trying to figure out all these different ways to spell the same thing. And look in your databases and look in your services and see if you can't find this. Ain't nothing strategic about it. But it is the problem. It is where the problem starts. And if this isn't fixed at the source, you will never get there. That's why we call it digital global warming here, okay? We are not going to get there. On the kind of structures we have today, we're not going to get there with the kind of metadata management we have today unless we start to move towards a common language. And this 7-Eleven actually came from a client database where they had a retail field force that they sent people out into stores. So we looked at all of that, and they actually found 275 different ways to spell 7-Eleven banner name. A lot of creativity in the field. None of it selling products. And if you think the software is going to fix it for you, you put this in Excel, with all respect to this building, you put this in Excel, you get July 11th. Unless you're in Europe, and then you get November 7th. But this is the problem. This is the foundation of the problem that we're dealing with here. And this is on the brand side. This is actually, just to show somebody's a little bit of dirty underwear here, but this is a brand called Axe or Lynx, depending on what country you're buying it from, that rolls up to Unilever. These are individual code numbers that this single enterprise had for the same brand. Same brand, same business. All the people who managed all those different data sources were all on the same dental plan. But they didn't have the same data. It starts inside. It starts internally in your own organization. So how are they possibly going to interoperate externally when they're trying to find out everything they have about this thing called Axe deodorant? Another philosopher I love, great northern philosopher, Avril Lavigne. Why do you have to go make things so complicated? That's what we do. This is a classic problem here. This is for every industry everywhere. You've got multiple workflows that create disparate data sources with differing definitions that lack internal standards across departments, regions, go-to-markets, and third parties. It's classic. We can walk into any Fortune 1000 company, show them this slide, and say, this is your problem, right? And they'll go, yeah, how'd you know? It's the same everywhere. We're doctors at Dun & Bradstreet. We see the same thing everywhere. People come to us with their data problems. They feel it's very personal. And they're like, oh, I got so many duplicates. So we see that all the time. But my sales view doesn't align with my finance view. It's the same problem everywhere. And it's a classic external problem, too, for lacking external standards across brands, agencies, media, and providers. And the way to solve it, a part of the way to solve it, is this common language, these master data standards, which, again, are the foundation of the data-inspired supply chain. That's what we submit to you. The only way you can actually interconnect is through the data. So the needs that happen in master data in this space are really around these four areas. You need structure. That data needs to be structured. Again, big data is only big because it's unstructured. That's the biggest problem with it. When you structure it, you can begin to manage it. You need it at all those levels. Hierarchy, entity hierarchy, category and market, the code, company, category, and country. It needs to cover your business universe, your operating universe. It needs to have a quality you can trust, and then it needs to be connectable across whatever ecosystem you're playing in, whether it's internal, external, departments, regions, go-to-market, third parties, same thing, same concept. Structure, coverage, quality, and connectability. And we do that little subliminal advertising here. Navy does this. That's what we provide for the commercial space that we're in. So we're looking at actually how we kind of take our structure and apply it more and drive some more interoperability in this space. So this is kind of a beta test, if you will, to show you some work we're doing with our partners over at Kantar Media, part of WPP. So we've taken the commercial hierarchy, which is in blue. Those are our code numbers, if you want to see what they look like. Rolls up to Unilever Global Ultimate, to Unilever US. It crosses a bridge where we've actually created a bridge between the DMV data and the Kantar Media data. Kantar tracks brands. You know Kantar, they track all the brands out there, they track the advertising activity that goes on across those brands, and they have a data asset there with that brand structure, and so we're connecting it to Axe and their codes, and eventually have been talking to Harold around how we then connect that in cross-reference files to the ad ID for that particular ad. So we're trying to create this common language for more and more folks to leverage. So this is barely out of PowerPoint, this idea, but we're testing this out with some media companies. We're starting to look at how we help structure that world at both the advertiser level and at the brand level. And the way to do it is really to make more databases and taxonomies literally interoperate better together. So my last little section here, again, I love the philosophers. Everything flows, all entities move. When you talk about interoperability, it's all about movement. And Heraclitus, again, never touched a computer, but he understood the concept of entities. That's what he called them. That's what we call the records in our databases. They're called entities, and they have to move. That data's got to move. So we look at it in this framework here, where the top and the pinnacle, why do people even do this? Why should your leadership really be interested in this? The key thing we all want to do is relate, is drive some sort of relationship. And that relationship around your targets and brands and platforms and content, you want to build a relationship with whoever you're interacting with. But before you can, you have to disambiguate. Biggest word on here, disambiguate. You've got to see whether you've got something already. It's got to be unique. You can't have a relationship with something unless you know it's that thing. So you've got to disambiguate to start with. The next thing you do is integrate. You take once you know that thing is unique, you take all the other data you know about it and put it together in some form or fashion to make it accessible. You then begin to aggregate, roll things up. You look at your top customers or top markets or top segments or some configuration of those three. Again, rolling that stuff up, that drives almost all reporting. And then the secret word for today, interoperate. Machines talking to other machines. You can't do that well unless you can disambiguate and aggregate and aggregate. Yes, they all rhyme with hate. Once you build that foundation, that literal foundation there, then you can evaluate. Then you can start to find the meaning in what you're doing. Then you can do the analysis. Most BI folks and most analytic tools will stumble and fall if the data going into them isn't structured doesn't have the quality and the dependability. When people get a report they don't like, they don't blame the software. They blame the data going in. And so that data's got to be structured in the right way to answer those questions and then communicate. If you think about the language they use in the master data space, it's getting on the same page. Do we all speak the same language? Do we have a common understanding? That's how you communicate. And to communicate is core to a relationship. Just ask my girlfriend. She says that's the most important thing you can do is communicate. And she's right. And we have that as well in our business world. If you get into a meeting and you've got a report, you've got 9 and the other guy's got 6 and 3 of them aren't the same, you've got no meeting. You're not talking the same language. So the bottom here is where we determine the truth, and the top is where we start to drive that meeting. And yes, they all rhyme with 8, and there are 8 of them, and the last one is really circulate. Circulate. You've got to move that data. Data in motion has value. Data that is stagnant in a silo or locked in a report or stuck in somebody's head has less value than moving around the organization. Getting it as close to the point of decision making as possible, that data's got to move. So we're really talking a lot about here, when you think about codes, when you think about ad ID, when you think about common structure, when you think about standards you need to adopt. Mostly they're there to disambiguate. I have a unique code for a thing and I can interoperate between systems. That's the minimum you need to make this stuff work that we're talking about. So closing up here, a couple of C-level pointers. There they are, the people who could care less about what you're talking about. If you talk to a C-level person, if you talk to the people on the business side, if you talk to the folks who are saying, why are you even bothering with this? It's a foundational thing. It's not transactional. It is not a project. It is a program. It's not something you're trying. It's a way of life. You need to evangelize in your organization that we need this common structured data. And use simple language. Go up to a CIO and say, we need a golden record. He's going to say, that sounds expensive. So you want to make sure you use the right language that resonates with them. And one of my favorites in this space, at least in the big data space, NoSQL sounds like I don't need SQL anymore. No, it means not only SQL. They can't get out of their own way with that kind of terminology. How do you explain that to a business person? You've got to use the kind of terminology that really resonates with them. Standards, integrate, organize, interoperate, map it to your visions, the big initiatives you've got in your world, in your space. Addressability of content will not happen without standards, without common master data between systems. It physically cannot happen. And you want to scale your business. And when you think about the single word benefit of master data, I would boil it down to scale. Instead of doing something 10 times, you can do 1,000 times. Instead of 1,000 times, you can do 1,000,000 times. And you can do it 1,000,000 times, probably in less time it took you to do those 10 originally, if it can scale. That's real scale. We've all seen businesses scale and interoperability scale. So it's around these common needs, structure, coverage, quality, connectability. It's about these common wants to relate, disambiguate, integrate, aggregate, interoperate, evaluate, communicate, circulate, and again, interoperate, the word of the day here, how all these things connect. So just kind of wrapping up, I think I'm a little bit over time here. Remember, master data is the epoxy. Columns are easy, rows are hard. Remember the wonderful teachings of Heraclitus, Leonardo, Avril Lavigne, and the Bible. I don't think those four have ever been mentioned together in the same sentence before. All entities flow. Everything's connect when it should. Why do we make it so complicated? We can try and simplify it. And a common language, if you adopt a common language, there is no endeavor beyond your reach. And we are here to help. We are here to help in any way we can. Dun & Bradstreet's committed to this business. That's why we're here. And we're here to help with our expertise, with our understanding, knowing that what a common language can bring to an organization. So thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Scott Taylor, thank you so much, Scott. You had me at hello.